From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, June 6, 2017. And on this day, the House overrides the governor's veto of a bottle bill expansion to include tiny liquor bottles. And we'll have some of the details on Mary Mayhew's plans to run for governor. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
Former Department of Health and Human Services Chief Mary Mayhew ended speculation about her political future today by announcing her candidacy for governor. Her message focused on small government and bootstrap solutions to Maine's economic problems. It's similar to the platform of Republican Governor Paula Page, her former boss. And as Steve Missler reports, Mayhew's hopes of winning the Blaine House may very well hinge upon her ability to connect with the governor's loyal supporters.
In more ways than one, Mayhew's campaign kickoff could be viewed as a direct message to the governor's base. She first announced her candidacy on Bangor radio station WVOM, one of LePage's preferred ways of communicating to his supporters. She then traveled to Dingley Press in Lisbon to deliver an economic-focused message to warehouse workers.
And for the last 6.5 years, I've been part of an effort to bring Maine back, to have Maine have its own comeback story.
When she resigned from her post at DHHS almost 2 weeks ago, she ended a controversial tenure highlighted by divisive policy changes to public assistance programs and a high-profile campaign to prosecute welfare cheats. Those pursuits were largely applauded as needed reforms by conservatives and repeatedly praised by LePage. But they were roundly criticized by progressives and advocates for the poor, who say the changes were punitive and have done little to lift people out of poverty. Mayhew is touting those policies again and says popularity is not a metric for success.
I've made those difficult decisions. I'm certain that there will be criticism, but I'm prepared to fight for what's right.
Mayhew was a longtime State House lobbyist and a former Democrat before joining the LePage administration. At age 25, she was the campaign manager for former congressional candidate Patrick McGowan, who came within one percentage point of defeating Republican Olympia Snow in the race for the U.S. House of Representatives in 1990. Now 52, Mayhew has chosen a hardline conservative path at odds with her Democratic roots. In her gubernatorial launch, bucked the conventional wisdom that Republican contenders would wait and see if U.S. Senator Susan Collins will enter the race, potentially clearing the GOP field. When asked about Collins, Mayhew said that anyone who runs for the Blaine House cares about Maine. But then she criticized Collins' recent support for expanding Medicaid based on the Indiana model.
It is concerning to me that she would come out and endorse a plan without understanding the challenges of our state budget, the impact of the cost of expanding Medicaid, and what that will jeopardize in terms of our priorities.
It was a measured response as compared to LePage's fiery critiques with whom he disagrees, including Collins. But Mayhew's remarks also signal that she sees herself as not only the candidate to replace LePage, but the one best suited to inherit his voters within the Maine Republican Party. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
The Maine House has voted to override Governor Paula Page's veto of legislation that would expand Maine's bottle deposit law to include small liquor bottles known as NIPS. Mal Leary has more.
The final vote was 114-31. And supporters say the core issue is litter. Representative Susan Austin, a Republican from Gray, says she finds lots of the small 50-milliliter bottles as she walks along the road near her house. And it's not just the bottle that causes the problem.
There's the body of the nip, there's the ring of the nip, and there is the tip of the nip. Sadly, those three pieces of plastic can become twisted and separated.
And others cited studies that show those little pieces of plastic can take decades to decompose in the environment. The bill would require a 5-cent upfront deposit on the containers and take effect in January of 2019. Representative Richard Campbell, a Republican from Orrington, said he'd prefer a higher deposit to provide more of an incentive against littering.
To be truly consistent, this should be a 15-cent deposit because this is wine and spirits. Somehow we negotiated it only be a 5-cent deposit. This needs a deposit, and that's all it is.
In his veto letter, LePage raises several objections to the bill. He says that litter would be better addressed by steeper penalties. And LePage says the bill does nothing to deter people who drink the little bottles of liquor while driving. The governor has some support. Assistant House Republican Leader Ellie Espling of New Gloucester says the state should not put additional burdens on business.
I think that this bill further tries to regulate behavior, which is really not the not the direction that I believe the state should go in. And in doing so, it's also putting a burden on businesses that I don't think is fair.
LePage has also suggested that he may simply stop the sale of the little bottles of liquor. That would be expensive. The Bureau of Liquor and Lottery Operations has indicated that the state made over $3 million on the sale of over 8 million of the bottles in the last budget year. And sales of nips have been up for the last 5 years by 40% a year. The bill now goes to the Senate, where it's already passed by a margin above the two-thirds needed for an override. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
A Superior Court judge is weighing her options about what, if any, additional relief a Maine state prison inmate should get after spending nearly 2 years in solitary confinement. Earlier this year, Justice Michaela Murphy found that inmate Doug Burr's procedural due process rights were violated by correction staff during his lengthy segregation. He was released into general population just over a year ago, but as Susan Sharon reports, Burr's attorney wants to ensure it does not happen again.
At a hearing in Kennebec County Superior Court, Justice Murphy heard conflicting arguments about whether Burr, who's serving a 60-year sentence for murder, is entitled to additional relief. The judge previously ordered the Department of Corrections to refund monetary sanctions imposed against him. Burr's attorney, Eric Maynard, argued there are several reasons Burr is entitled to additional relief, including the restoration of lost good time while he was in segregation. He also asked the judge to consider the following.
I think the injunctive relief that the court can apply at this point in time is to say that the Department of Corrections is enjoined from holding prisoners in administrative segregation as security risk for indefinite periods of time.
Maynard says that's what happened to Doug Burr. He spent 2 years in virtual isolation after being declared a security risk by corrections staff. But Maynard says that evidence was never presented to his client, who had a spotless disciplinary record until that point. Even the disciplinary charge brought against Burr was eventually dropped, and yet he remained in lengthy segregation. Maynard says such treatment amounts to a violation of the Eighth Amendment, which prohibits cruel and unusual punishment.
The court can rule that the policy is interpreted by the department with regards to holding them for an extended period of time. Does not meet constitutional muster.
Okay. All right.
But because this is a single case and not a class action lawsuit brought by a group of prisoners, Assistant Attorney General Jim Fortin said he disagreed.
I think that a general pronouncement by the court of what should happen to the prison's segregation policy would be a real intrusion on the prerogative of the executive branch in this case and would violate separation of powers.
Judges are supposed to refrain from getting involved in disputes between prisoners and correction staff. But Justice Murphy said Burr's case may be an exception because of the growing public interest, questioning the psychological effects of the prolonged use of solitary confinement around the country.
The damage that is done to people who endure this sort of segregation, isn't that something that is now part of the public discussion?
On that point, Fortin and Maynard agree, although Fortin argues that it is not something that should be decided in this particular case. The judge can respond in several ways, including ruling in favor of one side or the other, or requiring both parties to proceed to trial. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Tuesday, June 6, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.